Well, good morning, church. It is great to be together today on a special day for North Star. Today is our annual Covenant Renewal Sunday. And it's a special Sunday for us as a church. And if you're visiting with us today, it's probably one of the best Sundays of the year that you could check out what God is doing here at North Star Church. One of the things that's unique about North Star is we are a covenant membership church, which means that when you join our church, your name does not go on a roll somewhere and stays there forever. We clean out our membership once a year. And so today we are memberless. We have no church members as of October the 8th. And so our members who have been members for the previous year, at the end of the service today, you'll see them bringing their membership covenants forward and re-signing their covenants, indicating not that they're joining an organization, but they're uniting with one another in mission to serve and glorify Jesus Christ for another year together. And so for those of you who are visiting today, it's a great, great Sunday to step in and just hear about the heartbeat of North Star, who we are as the people of God, what our DNA is, what's valuable to us. And so at this time, if you are a member and if you've not picked up a blank covenant yet, I want to invite you to come down front at this time. It'll be a little bit awkward. Just kind of shuffle down, grab your membership covenant, and go back to your seat, and then you'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to do that. While they're doing that, let me speak to the rest of you just about what we're going to be covering this morning. So if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be engaging in Philippians chapter 3 with some truth about what it means to us as the people of God to know Christ Jesus as our Lord. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 7. So you have probably seen, whether it's on our website or if you've been attending North Star for any length of time at all, you've seen that we emphasize being the church. And for us, it is vitally important to communicate to one another what it means to be the church. And so today you're going to be able to participate once again in our Covenant Renewal Sunday and able to amplify for each other, encourage one another, what it means for us to be the church. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, let me begin, and this is what Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." So we want to stop there for just a moment. So let's lay the foundation for the rest of this morning. Because joining a church is not just about joining an organization. It's not about joining a people even. It's about first and primarily being in an intimate love relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so for every one of us who are members of North Star, what Paul is writing about here, about everything else, he considers as loss compared to knowing Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to be speaking this morning to three different audiences as we progress through the message. And the first audience is, and the primary audience is this, it's to our North Star members, those of you who have been members this past year and will be renewing your covenant for this next year. And so the first thing that we must solidify for us is we've been in this covenant renewal series. This is our third week in. We've looked at the importance of serving together and serving out of a gratitude for our salvation and not serving because it's the religious thing to do, but serving from an overflow of gratitude for what Christ has done in our life. Last week, we looked at the importance of being unified as the people of God because of what Jesus has done. And we looked at John 17 where Jesus prayed that we would be one so that the world would know that he was sent by the Father. And so today as we reflect on this, church members, let me just say to me and to you is what Paul is saying to the Philippian church here has got to be our foundation in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another. we have to have as our foundation the surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord. That must be our foundation. We don't come together because North Star has contemporary worship. We don't come together and join a church because this church teaches from Scripture, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, through books of the Bible, expository preaching. We don't join a church because of the children's ministry it offers. We don't join a church because of its small groups. We don't join a church because of anything other than we know Christ Jesus as our Lord. And He has created us to be interdependent with one another. And so for our members, we must reiterate for one another, we must reemphasize that the foundation of us coming together is our individual relationships with Jesus. And as Paul is looking here at the Philippian church, he says, whatever gain I had, and if you read back up to what Paul has been saying to them, he's basically been saying, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. And so Paul had a lengthy religious resume. He was zealous for God. He was so intent on being religiously right that he even persecuted to death those who were claiming that Jesus was the Messiah. So before his conversion, Paul was squeaky clean. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And that's why when he writes to this church at Philippi, Paul says, whatever gain I had. In other words, however far I was advancing in religion, however far I was advancing in status and prestige in Judaism, he says, I consider everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So for us as members, that's the thing that we have got to remind ourselves of, is that we come together not because we just like one another so much that we want to band together and we want to call ourselves a church and we want to have a cool website and all this kind of stuff, but we come together because of our relationships with Jesus Christ. The second audience that I want to speak to today are those of you who are attending North Star, and some of you have been attending for a while, but you are not yet members. And I want to say this as graciously and as gently as I can. The leadership of North Star Church, and as well as a lot of other churches out there, we believe from Scripture that it is biblical to join a church. We believe that it's vital to join a church. We believe it's necessary to join a church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you were never intended to be a Lone Ranger Christian. You were never intended just to come and sit and soak and be uninvolved, but you were intended and created to be interdependent with the body of Christ. And so we would encourage those of you who have been attending to prayerfully consider uniting not with us, but submitting to the Lordship of Jesus in your life, recognizing that He created you for biblical community. And if you've chosen North Star as your place to worship and to attend, we want to encourage you over the next several weeks to attend Discovering North Star, which is our membership class, and to take that next step forward in faith and involvement, so that there will be opportunities of service and discipleship available for you as you submit to the body of Christ. Now, you could be sitting out there today, and again, I'm trying to say this just as kindly and graciously as I can. You could be sitting out there saying, I'm completely content with attending. And we get that. We've all been there at some point. But for those of us who are members of North Star, we've also come to the point of recognizing that there is something beautifully kind about biblical submission to the body of Christ, to the authority of the church as it is submitted to the headship of Christ. And so we would encourage you, if this is your place, if this is your people, whether you're going to be here for 6 months, a year, or 6 years, none of us know when God will call us home. And so we hear the excuse a lot, well, I'm only going to be here for a couple of more months. Join anyway. Join anyway. unite with the family of God that nurtures your soul, because it announces to your church leaders, to your pastors, to your other ministers on staff, it announces to us that you're saying, I desire that you help me grow as a Christian. I desire that I am not counted numerically, but I desire that I be counted spiritually into this body. I'm giving you permission to hold me accountable. I'm giving you permission to expect me to grow spiritually. That's the second audience that we're speaking to today. The third audience is this, is there are some of you here today who are not a Christian. You've never given your life in faith to Jesus, and you probably are thinking, oh, this is the worst time to visit this church. And actually, it's the best time to be here, because you get to peer behind the scenes. You get to lift the hood and look at the engine. You get to see what is it that is valuable to us as a church. You get to see, okay, I just want to know what makes them tick. I want to know if they're for real. I want to know if they're genuine about following Jesus that they preach and they teach about so much. And I think one of the things that you should be hearing this morning, as someone that doesn't even believe in Jesus yet, who's not given your life, the thing that you should be hearing from us is that this church, we really are genuinely intent on trying to reflect Jesus to our world. We are imperfect followers of Jesus. Every one of us here, including myself, I'll tell you, we are imperfect followers of Jesus, but we are imperfectly trying to follow a perfect God. Does that make sense? And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, it's a great place for you to discover how a church in the 21st century is organized, what we teach, and how we try to mobilize this church family to impact our community, our campuses, our state, and our world. And so Paul says that he finds everything as rubbish compared to knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. And if you look down at verse 9, he says that I want to be found in him. And that's one of the verses that Tanner spoke over us earlier. I want to be found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, some of you are here and you're participating with us in a D28 group. And our D28 groups are groups of three or four people who are going through an intentional discipleship process this semester. It's one of the ways that we as North Star are organized behind the scenes to help promote spiritual maturity in our members and in our guests. If you were at our D28 lab last month, which focused on how to have a quiet time, how to have a time alone with God or a devotional time, this is some of the material that we used in that D28 lab, because it's foundational for us to understand that the very beginning point for church membership is a right relationship with God. And in verse 9, you can see what Paul is trying to communicate. He's saying that he does not have a righteousness that comes from the law. But he says that I have a righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so here's what Paul is attempting to communicate. And remember Paul's background, okay? Paul was a legalistic Jew. He was a Pharisee. And even today, when we say the word Pharisee or Pharisaical, what we mean is it's someone that's trying to be really religious. They're squeaky clean. So that's where Paul was. And what Paul had learned, that he could not find righteousness based on complete obedience to Scripture. So the Scriptures that they would have had would have been the Old Testament, right? And so Paul is basically saying, I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Righteousness essentially means a state of being right with God. And so Paul is saying, I could not make myself right with God by trying to obey all of the commands in Scripture. Paul's saying, I tried, I fail every time. And we would say with Paul, it's the same way for all of us. If we try to be perfectly obedient to the law, if we try to work up this holy momentum, like tomorrow, if you wake up tomorrow and you're just like, today, I'm going to be perfectly obedient. And you start off by making decisions, and you're praying for the nations, and you know you're listening to like 437 choruses of a Chris Tomlin song, and you're like, you are filling your life with joy. You're filling your life with truth. And like you said, I'm going to be so obedient today. I am starting off, I'm reading through the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to get it done. Or I'm going to Leviticus or whatever. And so you are doing your best. I can guarantee you one thing that's going to sidetrack you. It's Interstate 81. If you drive your car onto Interstate 81, your attempt at being completely obedient in your attitude, you will fail miserably. I just promise. If you go to Walmart at the wrong time, you will fail miserably. You get where I'm going? It's not just that you haven't run over an old lady on the way to the store. It's not just avoiding horrific sins. It's like we were commanded to be right in our minds and in our attitudes as well. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Don't worry." How many of y'all have already committed that sin this morning? Yeah. So obedience is not just like the big stuff. Obedience is also attitudinal. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. Jesus said to guys in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't even look at a woman lustfully, for if you do so, you'll be committing adultery. It's one of those realities of like Jesus is trying to penetrate far deeper than just these things that we think we can be obedient to. He's saying if you're going to be right with God, you have to be right with God in your heart. Yes, and so try to do that tomorrow. Anybody want to go? Just go ahead with me and say, I'm going to admit failure as soon as I wake up. Okay? That's what Paul's saying. I did not have a righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law. I couldn't make myself right with God. But look what he says. He says, that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What does knowing God mean? It means knowing in your heart of hearts. It's soul-level confidence. It's knowing that Jesus has died for your sins. And it's knowing that Jesus has taken my sin and has taken your sin and he has utterly destroyed it. He has ripped it up. Your sin has no call or weight on your life any longer. And instead, when Christ died for us, he took our sin upon us. He takes it into the grave. He leaves it there, defeated and destroyed. He rises again. And when Christ rose again, for all of those who believe in Christ Jesus by faith, he now makes you righteous. He gives you his righteousness. He gets your sin, and you get his righteousness. You get his purity. You get his holiness. You are made right with God by faith. And so Paul says, I did not have a righteousness of my own that came from trying to obey the law, but I have a righteousness from God in Christ Jesus that depends on faith. Folks, it's the most unfair exchange in the history of the cosmos, that by simple faith, by repenting before God of our selfishness and our sinfulness and our rebellion and our resistance to God, by repenting of that and believing and trusting and surrendering our life in faith to Jesus Christ, we gain heaven. We gain Christ. Everything else is counted as loss. That's what being a follower of Jesus results in. We are given the righteousness, the hope, the peace, the status of Jesus himself. And so that in verse 10, Paul can say, the reason is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. He goes on in verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And think about what Paul's saying. He's saying, okay, justification, that biblical word, and we've talked about this in our series, but justification means that for the person who has received Jesus Christ as Lord, God the Father declares you innocent and blameless and holy and righteous. Because of simple faith, you gain the kingdom. You gain eternity. And God invites you into this love relationship with him. He says the greatest commandment from this point forward, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is kind of like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. By faith, you enter the kingdom. By love, you're sustained in the presence of God because God is love. And the reality for us is Paul saying, I know that as long as I'm walking this earth, I am being continually transformed into the image of Jesus. I'm being continually renewed and refined. Paul says, I've not yet arrived. I'm not yet there. But here's the reality. He says, I press on to make this my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul was secure in his relationship with God. That even when he looked within and saw desires that conflicted with the desires of God in his life, and you want to read Romans chapter 7, Paul says things like, man, the very thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he just kind of goes back to the reality that sin still has a fleeting grip on me. But every day, God is refining me and renewing me. And he says, Christ Jesus has made me his own. Nobody can take us out of the hands of Christ when you trust him by faith. I like how verse 10 phrases it, for us to know that we are the church, that we are being the church. The foundation of that is just this, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of sharing with the sufferings. It's an acknowledgement that when we walk in relationship with Jesus, it won't be all butterflies and rainbows. There will be hard times, but even in the hard times, we experience the presence, the promises, and even the peace of God in our struggles and in our heartaches. And so Philippians 3:10 is like this summation. It's like Paul saying, the reason I count things as loss, the reason I count them as dung, is that I may know Jesus and members of North Star. That's who we are as the people of God. We are people whose goal is to know Christ, to walk in love with Jesus. I don't know if any of you ever have looked at the Amplified Bible. It's a version of Scripture that basically takes all the nuances of the languages of Greek and Hebrew, and it takes some of the interpretations of that, and it just throws every possible nuance into a verse. So this is how Amplified Bible translates Philippians 3:10. It says this, I want to know Jesus experientially. I want to become more thoroughly acquainted with him. I want to understand the remarkable wonders of his person more completely. And in that same way, experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers And in verse 11, it translates it like this: "And that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did." It's Paul's desire that he would know Christ experientially, that he would know Christ intimately, that he would know the mind of God, and his life would reflect God in his decisions and his priorities and in his attitudes. In Exodus chapter 33:13, you might be surprised to know that was Moses' lifelong goal as well, to know God. In Exodus 33:13, Moses prays and he says this: "Now, Lord, if I have indeed found favor with you, please teach me your ways that I may know you, and I will find favor with you." In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." It's this picture of this relationship that we have with our Savior. In Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, I like what the prophet says here. It says this: "But let him that glories," in other words, let him who boasts, "let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writes to his young protege, and he says this: "I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able." Billy Graham said that the ultimate experience of life is knowing God. Michael Reeves, in his book, Delighting in the Trinity, says, "God is love in such a profound and potent way that you simply cannot know him without yourself becoming loving." That's the goal of knowing God, is that when you give your life to him, when you give your life to knowing God, we begin becoming what we love. We begin reflecting whom we love. We become more like God as we spend more time with God, not through our own energy, but through his desire and working within us. He transforms us by the power of his Spirit. So what does it mean for us to be the church? Let me share with you five areas of focus for us as North Star, and you'll see these on the screen behind us. First of all, salvation matters to us. It is so important to us that every single member of North Star experience the powerful reality of being rescued. You can see Acts 4, 11 through 12. It says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved." So salvation matters. That's the entry point to become a member of North Stars. We must have given our life to Jesus in faith and experienced salvation. The second thing that matters deeply to us is doctrine. Doctrine matters to us. And when we say doctrine, we don't mean some kind of like stale teaching. Doctrine is just, its very nature means teaching. It means instruction. So instruction matters. Romans 16, 17 says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them." So preaching from the Word of God, organizing our church according to the principles in Scripture, allowing our attitudes and our speech and our relationships to be governed by Scripture is deeply important to us as the people of North Star. Relationships matter deeply to us. It's kind of one of those no-duh type moments, but it's one of those things is that Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God, the second greatest commandment is to love people. It's recounted in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, but love matters. Relationships with one another matters. And so when we are members of North Star together, whether it's in our small groups, whether it's in our large groups, whatever we do, we watch how we talk to one another. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. We lift one another up. We encourage each other to love God with all our hearts. Organization matters to us. And it may seem like, why would this be one of the things we focus on? Well, it's important to us how we do what we do as a church. The way North Star is structured behind the scenes, what we vote about, how we select staff members, how we vote pastors in, all of this kind of stuff, it matters to us that the way we're organized is we're organized through biblical principles. You can see in Ephesians 4, 12, 15, and 16, it says that God gave leaders to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. North Star is not dependent on its staff or its leadership board for growth. North Star is dependent on every member recognizing that they should be serving in the way that God has gifted them to serve. And as we all work together, North Star grows both wider and deeper. And then lastly, vision matters to us. In John chapter 4, Jesus had been talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. She ran into town, brought a bunch of people from the town back out to meet Jesus. As they're coming out to meet him, Jesus looked at his disciples and he says, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." He wasn't speaking of the fields literally being white for harvest. He's talking about the town people coming out. He's trying to tell his disciples, we must keep our vision on people. We're in the people business. And so for North Star, one of the things that matters deeply to us is reminding ourselves that we exist to make disciples of Jesus. That is our joy and privilege to tell the New River Valley in Virginia, in the United States, and our world that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and by simple faith in him, we can be forgiven and we can experience rescue. So because of all of that, membership matters to us. Membership matters to us. And if you want to know a little bit more about why it matters so deeply, if you want to have some scriptural references, there's a link there, don'tgo.b/yjoin, and it'll take you to that. But four things: it's biblically based, it's spiritually encouraging, we believe it's socially necessary, and that membership is mission-centered. It's important to us because we feel like Scripture teaches belonging to a church. So what do we focus on as our members are renewing their covenants this morning, and many of you are even considering participating next week in Discovering North Star? What are some of our focuses? Well, there's five things that every church should be doing. I'm holding up four fingers, but there's five things, okay? Five functions that every single church of Jesus should have as part of their components. The first one is fellowship. We should like one another. We should get along with one another, right? We should enjoy each other, even from different backgrounds, even with different interests, even from different nations. When God dwells within us and His Holy Spirit comes and lives within Christians, the Holy Spirit pulls us into community with one another, creates unity out of disunity. And so whether it's around Carolee Donuts in the mornings on Sunday morning, praise the Lord for Carolee Donuts, or whether it's in our small groups, or whether it's when we're serving together out in the community, we enjoy fellowship. We enjoy relationships with one another. The second thing that is a function of the church that every church should be involved with is discipleship. Discipleship. We say around here, think 28. That's how we remind ourselves that discipleship is important. It is not sufficient for us to have large crowds on Sunday morning, because we know as leaders of North Star, that the pastor of North Star, our staff, we are held accountable for you growing in Christ Jesus. We're not held accountable by any leadership board for that. We're held accountable by God the Father for that. The shepherds of the church are held accountable for your spiritual growth. And so the ways that North Star organizes itself to help you grow in Christ, we focus on Matthew 28, which says, go and make disciples. So we say, okay, Lord, we want to make disciples. Colossians 1:28 says that we proclaim Jesus, warning and admonishing everyone that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So we have small groups, and we also have D28, which is our discipleship ministry. Those two systems are constructed in a way to help you grow in your faith in Christ. So we hope every member at North Star will be involved at some point in D28 and most of the time in a small group. So before we get to our covenant, what are our five distinctives at a church? What are things that are just precious to us? You're saying, well, you've said four, you said three, you said two, you said... So now we're on to five, okay? So five things. Number one is make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. If you want to know what North Star looks like behind the scenes, under the hood, we want to be a people that elevates Jesus, not just in a middle school, but in a cafeteria, at Walmart, at the DMV, which is a little bit harder to do sometimes. We want to make much of Jesus in our attitudes, in our lives, in our speech. We want to be guided by Scripture. We want our priorities and our decisions, whether as a church or individually, we want to be guided by the Word of God. We expect spiritual growth of our members. We've already covered that. And we want to encourage every person that we influence to embrace joy in Jesus Christ, to embrace joy. And then lastly, we want to cultivate a family culture. When you come to North Star, we want you to know that we love you. We desire the very best for you. When you unite with us in membership, we're going to persist with you. We're going to strengthen you. We expect you to strengthen and persist with us, to encourage us. So let me share with you our membership covenant. Members, you've got the 8.5 by 11 sheet, and the rest of you, when you came in, on your seats, you should have that membership covenant. There are five areas of the membership covenant, but it begins with an introductory paragraph that has three focuses. Number one is having received Christ Jesus as my Lord. In order to be a member of North Star, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Second thing that you'll see in that introductory paragraph is having been baptized. Believer's baptism, which we believe the New Testament teaches, is baptism that comes after your decision to follow Jesus. So a relationship with Jesus, believer's baptism, and thirdly, being in agreement with North Star's vision and strategy and leadership. It's just like, I like where this church is headed. I like how this church is led. I want to submit to the authority of this local church. And there's five areas. And under each of these areas, you see those bullet points? Don't get the eebie-jeebies about the bullet points, okay? Those bullet points are not check boxes to us. We put those bullet points there so you could get an idea of what we were thinking by the big five. Does it make sense? They're just amplifications, they're suggestions, they're ideas of what we mean by that. You could probably come up with even more bullet points of amplifying what we mean, but our first commitment to one another is this: I will cultivate my relationship to Jesus Christ, obey his teachings, and practice his ways. And one of the things we say to one another around here, I can't make you fall in love with Jesus, you can't make me fall in love with Jesus. So when you are agreeing to the membership covenant, you're just saying, I understand that I'm responsible to grow in my relationship with Jesus, and I want to grow, okay? The second thing, I will protect the unity of my church in Christ's kingdom. Essentially, what that means is that we want to make sure that we are unified in heart and mind about our priorities and about the mind of God. And we want to make sure that we protect unity in the overall kingdom of God. We don't talk negatively about other churches. We see ourselves as part of a larger picture. The third priority is I will share the responsibility of my church and Christ's kingdom. The fourth area is I will serve in the ministry of my church and Christ's kingdom. And the fifth area is I will proclaim the glory of my Lord to others and tell others of his marvelous works. When you become a member of North Star, this fifth area, it just means that you understand that it's not Jeff's job, it's not Neil's job, it's not Julie and the children's ministry's job, although they could run the entire church. They are amazing. But it is all of our joyful responsibility to tell others about Jesus. Every Christian has a role in sharing the gospel with others. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come up at this time, and they're going to be closing us in a time of worship. But as they close us in worship, this is what you will see in this moment, is every year we love doing this, is we have this incredible Sunday, and then during our last worship song, our members will be renewing their covenant. And so they'll be signing their covenant, and they'll be bringing it to the stage while the worship team sings. And it's just an opportunity for us to celebrate being the church together for another year. So let me invite you to pray with me, and we'll go into a time of prayer, and then our worship team will conclude us with worship as our members bring their covenants forward. Let's pray. Father, we love you so very much, and we are so grateful that knowing you transforms us. God, you are good. You are so good. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. Thank you for sending your Son that you rescue us out of a sinful world and you create for us this new community that you live within us by your Spirit, that you draw us together in love and in relationships and in mission. And we're asking, Lord, that you would please bless our church over the next year, that you would help us to take great steps of faith, Lord, that we would give like we've never given before, Lord, that we would share our faith like we've never shared it before. God, that you'd give us joyful, bold courage. And Lord, in this moment, we want to pray especially for those who are in this room today that do not know you yet. And Father, we're asking that you would help them in this moment to understand how much you love them. Lord, that all this church talk this morning really is secondary to them knowing you, to them loving you. And so, Lord, we're asking that even in these precious seconds that you would prick their heart, quicken their conscience, and Lord, that they would confess that they need you. Father, lead them in a time of submission. Lead them in a time of prayer that they might pray to you something like this. Father, this morning I recognize that I've been selfish and I have kept you at arm's length for too long, and I've been scared of surrendering my life to you. I've been worried about what that might mean for my other relationships or even for my business. Or, Lord, I've been hurt in the past. And Lord, I consider all of that rubbish right now. I consider all of that as a loss. And I understand now there's nothing greater than knowing you. And I want that righteousness that comes from faith in Christ Jesus. I want to be right with you. You made me and you love me. And Lord, today I want to confess before you this selfishness, this sinfulness within me. And I want to ask you to please come and reign in my heart. I want to ask that you would step into my life. I trust you. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he paid for my sins. I believe he rose again. I believe, Lord, that you will save me and rescue me. So please come and live within me. I give you my heart. And Father, I'm asking that for anyone that you've given the courage to pray that this morning, I'm asking that you would very quickly just step in this moment and comfort them and assure them that they are your child now, that they are saved now. And Father, we're asking that you give them the courage to tell someone before they leave what they've done this morning. To share with who they came with, share with one of us. God, just give them courage to joyfully share that today they gave their life to you. We love you, Lord. Father, we worship you. In the name of Jesus, we worship you today. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship. And members, as we begin to sing, if you'd bring your covenants forward.